From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? Yes, it is Friday, October 30th, 2015, and you are locked into Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Can you believe that it's Friday already? Again, time flies when you're having fun, and we have certainly had a great time throughout the week here on Current Sports. Just the day before Halloween. It's going to be crazy on campus. I remember when I was a student, okay? And I don't think I ever had the luxury of experiencing Halloween on the weekend on a Michigan State football bye week. Yeah, the cops will be out, folks. I'm just saying. It's going to be absolutely insane, okay? So be safe, be smart, and don't do anything crazy that you would regret the next morning, okay? That's all I'm saying for all the students out there listening. It's going to be a fun show, though, folks. Again, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We will talk about high school football postseason action. That's right, folks. Tonight, 21 mid-Michigan teams will try and get a dub to move on and make, I guess you could say, a step closer to Ford Field to possibly compete for a state championship. We'll talk about that. Also, the Detroit Pistons will be retiring the numbers of two big names that will forever be etched into Pistons lore, I should say. Also, we'll give you our coverage from Michigan State Women's Basketball Media Day, give you a preview of Michigan versus Minnesota in college football, and yeah, we'll give you our favorite Halloween childhood memories as well. You don't want to miss that and so much more, but hey, let's start this party like we always do. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners for this October 30th. All right, again, folks, tonight is the night. High school playoff action in the world of football begins, and this year, 21 teams from mid-Michigan will dance. The opening round for the playoffs will feature a few matchups with an all-CAAC Red Division III district. CAAC Red champion in Division III, number 10 ranked DeWitt, will host rival Hazlitt. That's going to be a crazy game, while St. John's will face Mason. Corunna, which won its first league title since 2002, will face GAC Red rival Lake Fenton for a second time. Portland St. Patrick will face Battle Creek St. Philip in a rematch of a Week 8 contest in an eight-man division opener. A total of 216 teams across the state met the win requirement, which is, of course, six, to automatically qualify for the postseason. I won't riddle down every single game taking place right now. We'll get to that in just a sec. Marquise Williams threw two long TD passes in North Carolina, beat Pat Narduzzi and the number 23 Pittsburgh 26-19 on Thursday night in the matchup of Atlantic Coast Conference upstarts. Now, Pitt had its four-game winning streak snapped after moving into the rankings for the first time since 2010 behind new head coach and former MSU defensive coordinator Pat Narduzzi. Keep it up, dudes. You're still doing a great job, my friend. All right, the Western Michigan Broncos. They topped Eastern Michigan yesterday in Ypsilanti, 58-28, the final of that one, for their first win there since 2009. Western Michigan is 4-0 in the MAC for the first time since 2008 and has won the Michigan MAC Trophy for the second consecutive year. Western Michigan will look to improve to 5-0 in conference play for the first time since 2000 when it will host Ball State next week, Thursday, November 5th at Waldo Stadium. The Detroit Pistons, they host the Chicago Bulls tonight at the Palace of Auburn Hills, a 7:30 p.m. tip-off. The Bulls hope to spoil Detroit's fast start by winning their first three games for the first time since the 96-97 year when they started 12-0 en route to a 69-win year and their fifth NBA championship under the greatest basketball player of all time, Michael Jeffrey Jordan. The Bulls lost twice at the Palace last year, equaling the total number of losses they had in this series over the previous 5 years. Chauncey Billups and Ben Wallace. They will have their numbers retired at two separate game night ceremonies later this year. The dates have yet to be finalized, but the plans have been in the works for some time, and Billups, who donned number one, and Wallace, who donned number three, were officially informed the past few days. Reggie Jackson currently wears Billups' number one, and rookie Stanley Johnson wears Wallace's number three. In the first game of a home-and-home on consecutive nights, the Detroit Red Wings. They look to grab a win for just the second time in their last seven games. They will host the Ottawa Senators at 7:30 p.m. They have scored three goals or less in each of the past six contests. Special teams have been an issue for the Wings, who rank 20th in power play goal percentage and 21st in penalty killing percentage. And two current Detroit Tigers are up for the American League Gold Gloves. So, too, is one former Tiger. Outfielder Yoenis Cespedes, who was representing the National League in the World Series with the New York Mets, but is a finalist for the AL Gold Glove in left field because he began the year in the D. Also up for the league's foremost fielding award is second baseman Ian Kinsler and right fielder J.D. Martinez. And Los Angeles Clippers guard, interesting story here. Austin Rivers was fined $25,000 by the NBA on Thursday, a day after throwing a seat cushion into the stands at Sacramento. He says he has apologized to the fan who was hit by it. The NBA confirmed the cushion was hit a woman, in the second row at Sleep Train Arena. She experienced discomfort in her eyes, according to a report by USA Today, which earlier reported the league's review of the incident. And this is hot off the press, folks. Big news concerning the Breslin Center, folks. A major facilities upgrade focused on improving the visitor experience. The MSU Board of Trustees today gave the university the go-ahead to proceed with the $50 million project. $30 million will be provided by the university and $20 million from MSU Athletics. The work is scheduled to begin in January of 2016 with substantial completion expected by August of 2017 and final completion by June 2018. We'll have more on that in just a sec as well. Well, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Without further ado, it's time to start the show.
Got a center over there that's pretty good, but no, I don't know who you're talking about.
How do you think you guys recovered from that?
I think we came out way ahead, right? I mean, different people have different responsibilities, and you know, it's better to find out when they don't match up before you do a deal than after. So, we ended up with D. Will. I thought we had a great summer between D. Will and Wesley. I thought it was a great summer.
Golden State's had their issues. Are they kind of the black hat of the NBA right now in terms of?
I mean, look, the Clippers are the Clippers. You can change the players, you can change the owners, but the Clippers are just who they've been for the last 30 years. I don't hate the Clippers. That's strong words. I mean, I don't hate anybody on the Clippers. I mean, I pretty much hate anybody that doesn't have Mavericks or Dallas across their chest, but, you know, again, I just don't give a shit about the Clippers. Maybe that explains it.
Yeah, I think that just about sums it up, right? Mark Cuban, who is the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, he downplayed the developing rivalry between his franchise and, of course, the Los Angeles Clippers before the first game between the teams since the free agency saga featuring, of course, center DeAndre Jordan. You heard him there. And it's so interesting because you could just hear the saltiness in his voice as he made those comments. There may still be some ill feelings from Mark concerning DeAndre Jordan based on what took place in the offseason. We all know the story of how DeAndre Jordan, he had committed, I guess you could say verbally, to the Dallas Mavericks. Then all of a sudden, this big meeting happened between his then Clipper teammates, as well as Doc Rivers, head coach of the team. And he changed his mind, completely changed his mind. And now he's back in the Clippers uniform. And last night, the Clippers did get the W, a 104-88 dub over the Dallas Mavericks. And you can just hear the saltiness. So Mark Cuban is so interesting. He's just an interesting guy. He's a billionaire. He's always on the Forbes list. And, you know, and he's a guy who is willing to throw his money around. And at the same time, I get where he's coming from, because anytime it kind of reminds me of high school recruiting. When you try to get that big star recruit in high school, and we all know how kids are, right? I mean, anything can change their mind when it comes to committing to a respective school. And this is what it was. It was only a verbal commitment. And, you know, but hey, word is bond. I mean, especially as a man, when you give your word, right? And you're supposed to be a professional. So I totally get why Mark is a bit distraught over that. But I just thought it was a funny press conference. And it was funny watching the media guys interview him. They were just sitting there smiling, knowing that, yeah, you know, this is going to be on ESPN later, without a doubt. Folks, welcome to the show. It is Halloween. You hear the riff in the background. Do you know that jam? That's Will Smith's and DJ Jazzy Jeff when they linked up back in the day. A lot of people forget Will Smith. Yeah, he was an MC before he started this whole acting thing, right? That's A Nightmare on My Street. One of my favorite Halloween songs out there. It's almost Halloween. Can you believe that? What do they call the day? I think it's called Devil's Night. I don't know why they call it Devil's Night. I don't like that name. Let's call it Angel's Night, okay? But the night before Halloween, they call it Devil's Night. I don't know why. What is the tradition on that one, Isaac?
I have no idea.
No clue.
I couldn't begin to speculate on that.
But it's the night where I remember my grandmother. I remember I asked her. I do remember this vividly. When I was in elementary school, I said, "Grandma, why do they call it Devil's Night?" She's like, "Baby, because everybody just goes out and they do devilish stuff before Halloween." That's what she told me all the time.
Is that what she sounds like?
That's exactly. I kid you. "Baby, they do devilish stuff." That's what she would all. That's how she exactly sounds. But that's what she told me. So I don't know. I just want people to be safe, because again, Halloween is arguably the biggest night in Michigan State history for the entire year. It is, because I remember, at least when I was in college, it's always an event, because everybody goes out, they dress up, and they lose their minds. And the fact that it falls on a Saturday, and the fact that there is no Michigan State football game, it's a bye week. I'm just hoping everyone just stays safe. It's going to be crazy. Are you going out, Isaac?
Yeah. I'm going to probably go eat some popcorn, trick or treat.
No,
that's
you're
what
I'm
not. Doing.
Stop yeah. it. You know, I know you will be out there. You deserve it, man. You're a student here on campus. You work so hard. You're taking 58 credits. You need to get out, enjoy yourself. But I'm just asking, Isaac, please be safe, man.
I'm always safe, but no, there is that thing about Halloween. I actually can't decide whether it's better or worse if it's a game day or not, because I feel like if it's a game day, I feel like that encourages people to drink even earlier, increasing the risk for something bad to happen.
I don't know, it's different though. It's different.
If it's Halloween, if there's no game, it's also nobody's got any obligations.
Yeah,
which
you don't
is
have anything
the scary
to distract
part
you.
Too.
Yeah, you have nothing to distract you. There's not that 4-hour block where you're just sitting down watching MSU football.
I mean, exactly.
It's turn up 24/7. Okay, I got to ask the money question here. What are you being for Halloween? What are you dressing up as? I know you had some ideas. But,
I have to shout out Erin Ashel, who's one of our production assistants on the show.
Right.
She gave me the idea yesterday. Totally fits my personality. Ron Burgundy from Anchorman, because not that I'm as charismatic or personable as Ron Burgundy, but how, as you know, I have a penchant for wearing some weird suits.
Yeah, you
I
do.
Love
right.
dressing up. So
I wouldn't say weird. I would
retro.
Just say they're like
throwback.
Retro. Yeah, like throwbacks. Yeah, exactly.
Fair enough. But so it's perfect, because I go to a thrift store. I'm going to buy myself a red Burgundy suit.
All right, Macklemore.
And
yeah.
Exactly. I was Macklemore last year. I'm not sure if I told you.
I did not know that. Wow. That fits you. Okay.
Yeah. I got the haircut and everything, got a fur bathrobe, and they didn't have fur coats. Have you seen that video for thrift shop?
I have. I have. Many
or thrift
times.
Store. That's what it was from. But anyway, so this year, get a red jacket. Knowing me, it will not go to waste after Halloween. I'll wear it. You'll see me on the sideline one day wearing it.
Oh, I'm sure. It won't be hard to pinpoint you when you start covering MSU basketball.
Oh, no, it will not.
It won't be hard to pinpoint you down low shooting. I can guarantee you that one.
What about you, Al?
Man, well, I tell you what, I'm going to Detroit. I mean, I actually have tickets to go to the Pistons and Bulls game. I'm pretty excited about that. So
that's
I'll be checking
terrific.
Out. Yeah, I'll be checking out the Pistons and Bulls with my stepdad. It'll be a nice outing. Him and I are going out to that the Palace. And on Saturday, you know, I'll be in the D for the weekend. And a lot of my homies hit me up yesterday saying, hey, Al, there's a lot of stuff going on downtown. So they're dressing up, which means I have to dress up, and I have no idea what I'm going to be. I'm just going to go in the
callers
store.
Today, call in and give your recommendations for what you want to see right. Al Martin wearing on Halloween, and yeah. he will post it on Current Sports.
I will. It will be on my Instagram, without a doubt. It will be on. I'll tweet it out as well. It's going to be a fun weekend, though. It's going to be a fun weekend. I'm curious. I know we got it's like a party right now behind the glass. We have a bunch of production assistants working on the show with us today. We have Shannon. We've got, I believe I saw Laurel is in there
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, she's still back there.
I mean, Martez is even back there as well. It's packed.
Ethan
is back. Ethan Merrill is back there as well. Everyone is back there, dude. So I want to know what they're dressing up as well. We'll get to that later on in the show, though.
All right.
Phone lines are open in the meantime. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. You know, it's also a big night because high school football the postseason. That's right. It starts tonight, folks, and it is an incredible slate of games. 21 mid-Michigan teams will be vying to possibly get the dub and move on an inch a step closer to possibly playing at Ford Field for a state championship. I can't believe it's already that time, folks. I couldn't believe last week on Friday that was the last week for the high school football regular season. Just to give you guys a rundown of the matchups that will be taking place. In Division One, you've got Howell at Grand Ledge. In Division Three, you've got two matchups. Hazlitt at DeWitt. Wow, I just want to pause right there. That's going to be crazy. Hazlitt at DeWitt. Two rivals going at it in the high school postseason. Going to be crazy. Then you have Mason at St. John's. Always a great game between those two. That's going to be a fun one as well. Then Division Four, Alma at Ada Hills Eastern. Then Hudsonville Unity Christian at Lakewood. And Lake Fenton at Corunna. So you got a three-game slate in Division 4. Then we move to Division 5, also a three-game slate. Stockbridge will be at Portland. Ovid Elsie at Lansing Catholic. I really like that Lansing Catholic team, even though they had some bumps in the roads. We saw Lansing Catholic take on Portland earlier this year. Tony Poljan, he was stifled by that outstanding Portland defensive line. I really think Portland has a good shot of moving, you know, possibly winning a state championship this year. They finished the season undefeated throughout the regular season, I should say. But Lansing Catholic is always good as well. It's going to be very, very interesting, especially if Portland meets Lansing Catholic on this run. Anyway, third game in Division 5, Olivet at Berrien Springs. Then we move to Division 6, Vassar at Ithaca. Ithaca, a powerhouse. Of course, Ithaca lost in the state championship last year at Ford Field, snapping, folks, snapping. And I was there on the field to witness it. It was kind of eerie, kind of weird to see what took place. It was almost like the players and, of course, head coach Terry Hesburgh, it's almost like they didn't realize or take in full account what exactly had happened during that moment. But Ithaca, they had the longest winning streak in high school football in these United States of America. Again, Ithaca had the longest winning streak in high school football in the U.S. of A. It was snapped last year, though, in the playoffs. And they do have a streak going when it comes to consecutive regular season games won. So always an impressive squad. But Vassar will be at Ithaca. Brian Calloway of the Lansing State Journal, he was with us early on in the week. And he is choosing Ithaca to win a state championship and to rebound quite nicely this year. In Division 6, the second slate we have is Langsburg at Burton Bendel. Then we move to Division 7, Carson City Crystal at Pawamo Westphalia. Then you have Concord at Dansville, game 2 in Division 7. In Division 8, we've got one matchup, Fowler at Merrill. And in 8-man football, two games, Portland St. Pat at Battle Creek St. Philip and New Haven Merritt Academy at Morris. Wow. That's a lot of teams, folks. A lot of teams, and I'm sure many of you out there in the local area will be attending much of these games. I got to ask, Isaac, when you look at this slate, and there are teams that had great years, who do you think, if you had to, let's say this was like a, you know, a pick'em elimination thing, where you, if you had to choose one or two teams to roll with that you think have the best chance of winning a state title from here all the way to Thanksgiving at Ford Field, Who are you picking? I'm curious.
Yeah, I like the defending champs in Lansing Catholic. You know, they've still got Tony Poljan. They're a fantastic team. I think it's going to be hard for any team to really beat them on their way. And then I've had the pleasure of covering several DeWitt games this season. Mm-hmm. And boy, is that franchise or what? That team keeps putting it together, and they're just so well organized. They've got a system. It's well-oiled. It's hard to stop. It's consistent. So I like DeWitt and Lansing Catholic. Those would be my picks.
I really like that. Well, first on, I'm kind of like Brian Callaway. First on my list has to be Ithaca, because I've gotten to see them win, what, three state championships during my time as a reporter in the area. And it's hard to go against Terry Hesbrook and what that squad has done. Even when looking at last year, they get all the way to the Ford Field again. I think that would have been four or five straight for them. And it was kind of weird. That program just has an incredible history of winning. I just can't see Ithaca losing in this postseason. So I'm going to choose Ithaca. Now, you brought up Lansing Catholic. I covered that Portland and Lansing Catholic game earlier this year, and it was so shocking because when watching that game, Portland was able to just confuse and stifle Lansing Catholic throughout its entirety. We know how good Tony Poljan is. He is a juggernaut. He's actually, I believe, going to Minnesota next year. That's where he's taking his football talents. He's unbelievable. He plays both sides of the football. He plays defense as well. But Portland's defensive line, and Portland as a whole, that team is just so good. I do believe, I'm going to call it, I think we will see Portland take on Lansing Catholic, and I think it will be a kind of a repeat of what we saw earlier in this year. Now, granted, one of the best coaches I've ever seen in high school football is also coaching Lansing Catholic, that being Jim Ahern. We all know about the coaching tree that's under Jim Ahern. Actually, I brought up Terry Hesbrook, head coach of Ithaca. He's built a powerhouse over there. Terry Hesbrook first got his start under the tutelage of Coach Jim Ahern. So Jim Ahern has done a remarkable job, and he knows how to win, and he knows how to make adjustments game by game by game, especially when it's crunch time in the postseason. So we will see adjustments. I just think that Portland team, from a talent perspective, outweighs the Cougars just a little bit. But I think we will see Portland and Lansing Catholic match up again.
Yeah, that would really be something. And, you know, I got to really shout out my DeWitt Panthers, though, because Rob Zimmerman, you talk about the great coaches, Jim Ahern, Terry Hesbrook, and you've got to throw Rob Zimmerman right in there. I'm just telling you, this DeWitt team, I've seen them shut down teams that I thought were really impressive. And I don't know, I think we could see them in the state championship as well.
I agree.
They're different division and all of that, but even so, I think I just think it's absolutely a good year for college or high school sports, prep sports, and there are a lot of teams to keep an eye on. A lot of surprises as well.
There certainly are. But DeWitt and what Rob Zimmerman has done. Also, I want to shout out James Moore, who is a great friend of Current Sports, who comes on all the time. He is the former Michigan State fullback great who played with Lorenzo White in the 1988 Rose Bowl. James is now an assistant coach for DeWitt. This is, I believe, his second year with the Panthers, and they have been doing an outstanding job there. I also want to pose the question, you know, when looking at the selection show that we saw this past weekend, first off, I want to give mad props to what John Johnson and the MHSAA has done when it comes to their selections of teams, because we all know that the magic number is of course, six. You got to win six if you want to automatically qualify for a bid in the state championship high school football tourney here in Michigan. But I also liked how they did it, you know, how they do it, I should say, when it comes to teams who may be just on the fringe, those 5-4 teams. Now, when looking at how things went down on Fox Sports Detroit this past Sunday, there were no local teams from here in Mid-Michigan who finished the season 5-4 and were able to squeak in based on things like strength of schedule. I was really rooting for, though, Bill Ferracco and the East Lansing Trojans, because I really thought that team was very talented, a very, very talented team. I love that, you know, the brother tandem of the Holbrooks, very impressive stuff there. They certainly they have a young quarterback, but I really thought this was a great rebound year for East Lansing, especially looking at last season when they only won one game. One game, folks, and they were on the fringe of possibly making it. I'm pretty sure they got heavy consideration. But with that being said, I really like, Isaac, how those teams who may just be on the fringe, that one win away from making the playoffs, they still have an opportunity to at least be considered for state championship action.
And that's how it should be, Al, because at the end of the day, you don't want to eliminate teams because that type of system, if you don't lead towards some leniency, it can leave out teams that maybe played a tougher schedule because of that. And that's the last thing you want to do, especially in high school football, where you've only got 9 games to put together for most of these teams. So when you've got 9 games, if you've got a tough schedule at the start of the year, you can be left out solely because of those losses. And that doesn't make too much sense.
Right. Without a doubt. But it's going to be a fun night. Fun night. Mason, St. John's, that's going to be a great game. Of course, Dave Maragy, head coach of St. John's, he's done a great job this year. I had the pleasure of announcing the East Lansing and St. John's game, and Maragy is one of the most competitive individuals you'll ever meet in your life. At Mason, of course, the Van Havels, you know, the father and son combination over there. That's always fun to watch. I think you were at that game. Both you and I were at that game earlier this year when we saw Jarrett Van Havel lead his team to victory.
Against Eden Rapids.
Eden Rapids, that's who it was. The Eden Rapids Greyhounds and I tell you what, Van Havel at the quarterback position, he's a young kid who is so tough. We saw him on that one play that everyone's still talking about to this day, barrel into the Eden Rapids Greyhound sidelines, gets his leg caught in the bench, in the wooden bench. You know, his dad runs over from the opposite sideline. He's flipping off, you know, and I wouldn't say flipping the bird. I mean, he was just going off because it's his son. And I do believe that. I think they should put those wooden benches a little further back.
They should.
It's dangerous. Really, really dangerous. But we saw Van Havel come over, and he was kind of irate about it. But he's just a remarkable coach, and that's just a remarkable program as well. That's going to be a fun game between Mason at St. John's. But a full slate. And I want to know if you guys are going out to a game, what game you're going to, and what teams do you think will make the state championship and possibly win the entire enchilada. Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Have to bring this up because I think this is very, 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 very cool. I'm a big Piston fan. You guys know that. And the Pistons announced, and it came out because I don't know if it was supposed to come out, but because I'm reading here, just to read this brief snippet from the Detroit Free Press. Let's see here. Persons with firsthand knowledge of organization's plans confirmed to the Detroit Free Press today that Chauncey Billups and Ben Wallace will have their numbers retired at 2 separate game night ceremonies later this season. Anonymity was requested because the dates haven't been finalized, but the news confirms what has been rumored for the past year. The main cogs in the last great era of Detroit Pistons basketball will get their nights to receive thanks for their great career. So I don't know if it was supposed to come out. I think maybe it was supposed to come out when the dates, the solidified dates were set in stone for Billups and Wallace to have their numbers retired. But nonetheless, this is fantastic news. Again, as the article stated, this has been rumored for quite some time. Chauncey Billups, the NBA Finals MVP of that year in 2004, he was so big, Mr. Big Shot. He retired after the 2013-14 year. He rejoined the Pistons for his final year after he was traded in November of 2008 for Allen Iverson, which was a horrible, horrible move. But Billups was the unquestioned leader for that team. Unquestioned leader, along with Ben Wallace. But, you know, you just had – when it came to Chauncey, you just playing that point guard role, you have to be a natural leader anyway in that role. But you just feel that whenever someone would talk about Chauncey on that roster, he was the guy to rally the troops. Well-deserved, he didn't just get that Mr. Big Shot nickname, folks. He earned that thing because when the Pistons needed big plays down the stretch, you know who was getting – the basketball. It was Chauncey Billups time in and time out. And of course, Ben Wallace. My goodness, if Billups was the leader, Wallace was certainly the beating heart for that team. Ben Wallace was fantastic. Of course, he was a four-time Defensive Player of the Year. Four-time Defensive Player of the Year, folks. Unbelievable stuff. It was always great watching Big Ben play. And what made Ben Wallace so special was that he was an undersized center. He was certainly strong, but from a height perspective, Ben Wallace wasn't your typical, you know, 6'10", 6'11", 7-footer down low causing havoc. Ben Wallace was a bit undersized, you know, like around 6'9", 6'10", around there, but he could jump out the gym. He had unbelievable court awareness and could read the defense so well. He was just a presence that that is so rare in sports. Ben Wallace deserves to have his number retired, as well as Chauncey Billups, and that's going to be a fantastic day at the Palace of Auburn Hills once those dates are announced, and people are going to want to be there to see that moment. Unbelievable stuff, well-deserved. Isaac, I got a question for you, though. Do you think Ben Wallace makes the Basketball Hall of Fame?
No,
You don't think so?
I think he's one of the best defenders of all time, but Al, this Pistons team might have been my first favorite team in NBA history. Not the franchise, not any of that, just this collective group of players. The championship and the year after the championship, Detroit Pistons. And let me tell you why. For this very reason, how do you hang up the numbers of Ben Wallace and Chauncey Billups without Rip Hamilton, Tayshaun Prince, Rasheed Wallace? Al, none of those players, in my opinion, might not even be in the NBA top 100, 150, and they won a championship against the Los Angeles power-stacked Lakers with Karl Malone, Gary Payton, Shaq, Kobe, Derek Fisher, Robert Horry. They had Rick Fox. Who else? There were just so many.
Team. Yeah. Was Luke Walton on that squad at the time?
I don't think just yet.
Not yet. Did you see him coaching? Did you see Luke coaching the other day? How weird was that?
It's so weird.
That was weird. I mean, he was coaching. What was it? The Golden State Warriors?
Yeah.
I'm sitting there like, what?
The Pelicans too.
I'm like, I must be getting old.
I know.
I remember when Luke first came into the league. But besides the point, sidebar. Go ahead.
But there were so many powerful players, so many superstars on that team or former superstars. Oh, Karl Malone, of course, right. The mailman. Alonzo Mourning, I believe. And the Pistons. A bunch of nobodies with a team that they threw together through smart acquisitions beat them. And it was fantastic. So I love this move to retire these jerseys. I don't think Ben Wallace makes the Hall of Fame. I think he should.
Chauncey?
I think Chauncey does.
You think
just
he does?
Just because he's the leader of that team, like you said, and NBA Finals MVP.
Right. And this is what I would argue. I think it's really hard, though, and I think it's going to get heavy consideration because – it's really hard to win the NBA's Defensive Player of the Year award. Not one, not two, not three. Heck, that's even good. Three times, but four times? That's crazy to me. I don't know. I think if he gets in, I think he squeaks in. It's not like it's not like he's a shoe-in, but if he gets in, he squeaks in, and I think he deserves it. That's just my opinion, though.
I think he's right on the fringe.
Right.
So I'm with you. I just think it ends up going the other way where he doesn't get it. Maybe eventually in the distant future, but he's not first ballot, not close to it.
Yeah.
So, no, but I just loved that team so much. I'm happy to see these guys get their jersey numbers retired.
Right, right.
I hope the whole starting five does, because Rip Hamilton,
unbelievable,
Tayshaun Prince,
exactly.
Rasheed Wallace. Like I said, all five of these players played equal parts in winning that NBA championship. It's amazing. You don't see that anymore.
No, you don't
see teams like that.
What the only team that you can compare it to is what the San Antonio Spurs have done for quite some time. But even then, I mean, when looking at the talent they have on that squad with Manu Ginobili, Tim Duncan, and Tony Parker, I mean, those are legitimate superstars.
Exactly. Tim Duncan, couldn't argue. One of the top 10 ever.
You couldn't argue that with the Detroit Pistons during that time. Perfect. And that's why Joe Dumars at the time was looked at as a genius. As a genius. That's when Joe Dumars was at the top of the top. He couldn't do anything wrong. That's why us as Pistons fans gave him such a long, long leash. While we gave him a leash from California all the way to New York, because Joe Dumars couldn't do anything wrong after winning a championship with the players that he had in 2004. But again, like Janet Jackson said, it's all about what have you done for me lately. And it just started to get – the song got old after a while. But much props to him. Well-deserved. And that's really – and I was a Pistons fan even before that. I've been a Pistons fan for all my life. But during that period, even during even before Larry Brown got there, when Rick Carlisle was the head coach, and I truly believe this. I think if Rick Carlisle was the head coach in 2004, I still think that Rick Carlisle could have won a championship with those
Me
guys.
Too.
That's why I'm so glad that Rick Carlisle eventually did get a ring with the Dallas Mavericks, because he's so well deserving. Our phone lines are open, folks. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Let's hear our first break. When we come back, we will bring you our coverage from the Breslin Center as we chatted with the MSU women's basketball team. Hear what Susie Merchant and the troops had to say as they rev up for another year. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to Current Sports on the day before Halloween right here on WKAR AM 870. Beautiful people, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Breaking news here. I'm just seeing this. It's just flashed on my phone, just now as that break took place. This is coming from ESPN. Subpoenas have been issued in the sex scandal case involving the Louisville program. Don't know who those subpoenas are for. Don't know the details just yet, but breaking news. Coming on my phone, subpoenas have been issued in the sex scandal case involving the Louisville program. This is really going to get ugly, folks. Again, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let's go to line one right now. We've got my man Jody all the way from another country out in Canada. Jody, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing? Feeling international today, you know. Yeah.
Go Canada. Oh, Canada. Gotta love it.
Yeah. I just wanted to talk briefly, man, about, they're talking about Hall of Fame and all that. Our local Hall of Fame, or the MSU Ring of Honor, over at the Breslin, I think that Terry Furlow and Mike Robinson, I know that's probably on the back burners with everything going on. But, I mean, if you get a chance, Al, man, I mean, really, when you never have downtime, I know, but if there's ever a such thing, take a look at some Mike Robinson or some Terry Furlow film, if you can get any from the basketball office or anywhere.
Yeah, certainly.
And you will see. Yeah, I mean, because, I know that was way before your time,
right.
What I mean?
Right, right.
Yeah, but, you look and go, probably the purest shooter, Furlow, that you wanted to see. Beautiful shoot, jump shot, and he was a heck of a player. And Mike Robb, with his ability to score and off the dribble and score in all different kind of ways, I think they should be up in that Hall of Fame. And I've always said that, and two outstanding ball players.
Well, I'm looking here, Jody, right now. I just Googled him as you were just talking here, and Terry Furlow, I didn't know he was from Flint, Michigan. I believe, right, is this the right Terry Furlow that you're talking about?
Played
at Michigan State 1975-1976 as a senior, led the Big Ten in scoring, finished his career at MSU with 1,717 points. And I'm seeing here Graham Couch. I remember when we had Graham of the Lansing State Journal to talk about this. He did a list, Jody, of MSU's top 50 basketball players, and he has Mike Robinson at number 8 on that list. So, he's pretty good.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and you got to remember, too, Furlow scored 1,700 without a three line.
Wow. I didn't even think about that.
There was no three line back then. He went for 50. And I remember my freshman year, we had gotten back from, winter break, and they were playing Iowa, and Furlow went for 50 with no three line.
Unbelievable, man. He was a juggernaut.
Mike Robb probably would have been way up there too with the three line. So they were outstanding ball players. It just was the team. Everything was Indiana back then because Bobby Knight had Scott May and Benson and Wilkerson and Abernathy and Quinn Buckner. He had five guys go first round, I believe it was. So everything was pretty much all Indiana, and only one, and maybe two. Well, there was only 32 teams in the NCAA tournament.
Right, exactly.
So if you didn't win the tournament, you didn't win your league, you were going to the NIT in most cases.
Yeah, yeah. Man, my oh my, how things were different back then, right?
Yeah. I'm just saying, you know, it was a, you know, they were, and, you know, and also you're talking about all these different divisions and all these different championships, you know, back in the, you know, I'm older now, I guess I can, you know, admit it, but back when, you know, when we were in high school, man, there were only four, in Ohio, there were only four teams from, like, AAA, single A, double A. You know, AAA was the big schools, double A the middle schools, and single A the small schools, and you only had four teams that played in the tournaments from each division.
Oh, man. You know, and you just imagine, you know, looking at how things are now, if you would have implemented this same system back then, how those stats would look. I always wonder that. And it's hard to compare errors, I should say. But at the same time, you always that thought always crosses my mind, Jody.
Yeah, because you had three more. You had three to four more. You say even take high school. You take a high school kid, and you look at his numbers, and you had three to four more games or playoff games in a tournament. Wow. Or you at the three line, you know, now, and you see guys scoring points. You know, it's an entirely different world. But, yeah, you know, I mean, you know, the championships were different. And like I say, when, you know, guys scoring points and all that, it was a big difference, big difference.
Without a doubt. Always a great call, Jody. Appreciate you, man.
All right, man. Take care. Have a great week. Enjoy the Pistons, man. They play hard, and I watched my first Piston game because up here all we get are the Raptors.
Yeah.
Raptors, I mean.
How are they looking this year? How are the Raptors looking this year?
They've only had one game, but the nucleus is in effect, and they picked up a big fella in the middle who kind of protects the rim for them when Valanciunas has gone out the game, and they also picked up Corey Joseph, so they have somebody coming up with the second unit who played with San Antonio and who can lead the second unit for them. So they may be pretty good. They just, I think my thing is I'm old school. I like to see you take the ball to the hole. I don't like to see too many jump shots. You know, if you're open, okay, but I can't stand seeing guys dribble past the rim to throw the ball out to a three-point guy when all you had to do was just extend and lay it in the basket.
I'm telling you, talk about changing times, right? That's how the game is evolving now. The three-point line has become so important now. And if you're not good at shooting the three ball, I mean, it's hard to go deep. But again, I'm old school as well. If you got the lane, take the drive, take the layup. I'm with
take
you, Jody.
The layup.
I agree.
Layup. I see cats at the hole and they throw it out 30 feet out. I'm like, no, Big Daddy. But, you know, I guess it's today's game, you know.
Yes, it is. Jody, thanks so much for your time, man. Thanks for calling.
All right, have a good one, Al.
All right, you too. And, you know, I hate that, Isaac. I play pickup basketball all the time. And some of my buddies, I not too long ago, I was playing pickup. And we played before.
Yeah, we've played.
We played in the summertime.
We were a good duo, actually.
Yeah, we were. I think we only lost, one game?
One game.
That was fun. That was fun stuff, man. But some of my buddies, they'll have the lane. And they'll just kick it out. They'll just kick it out to me at the 3-point line. Now I'm not hating on that because I like having the ball in my hands. But at the same time, take the layup. Fundamentals, man. That's just fundamentals, right?
Oh, that's right. Kids these days, you know, I'm a kid this day. I don't know why I'm saying that, but kids these days, including myself partially, but they don't know how to make layups. They get nervous doing the layup. You gotta learn to master a layup before you can start expanding your range. And
I'm telling you,
no,
man.
No, I didn't do that. But even so, it's you've got to work on the layups. When I watch high school basketball as a neutral fan, that's one of the main things that annoys me. ISO offenses where you get into the lane and then you don't go up strong. Instead, you just either kick it out or back it up to the three. When you get an offensive rebound, you got to pull that up, down, and then immediately go back up with the ball over your head at the whole time.
So annoying.
Instead, nowadays people just kick it out, let them shoot.
I agree.
Not how the game should be played.
It's almost like, you know, reminds me, I don't know if you remember this, but I used to be a big and-one mixtape tour guy.
Do you remember that?
Like, oh, hot sauce, oh, you know, and they used to do the things where you bounce the basketball off your head. They were like the cooler version of the Harlem Globetrotters. But the professor was unbelievable.
The professor has
this thing where he dresses up like Spider-Man.
Spider-Man, man.
He'll dress up like Spider-Man. They don't know who he is, and he'll go out and just make you look like an idiot. But they do that. They used to do that all the time. They wouldn't take the layup. They'll just kick it out, and they were fancy. But anyway, phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let's highlight the MSU women's basketball team. Of course, this week, not only did MSU Men's Basketball Media Day take place, but of course, the women's basketball team held Media Day as well. Now, Susie Merchant, who's the head coach of this squad, they are coming off a year that was riddled with injuries. Players like Ariel Powers, who is the star of that squad, and Tori Jankowska, and so on and so forth, they had to log on a lot of minutes because of so many injuries throughout the entire year. We even saw Susie Merchant having to sign on a MSU women's volleyball player who had some basketball experience to the roster because they just didn't have any depth. But it's a new year. It's a new day, and the past is the past. Pretty impressive stats to bring up for Susie Merchant and company. MSU has won at least 15 games for the 14th straight year. They have won at least 10 conference games in 12 of the last 13 seasons, winning 10 Big Ten games in 12 straight years, which was the longest active streak in the Big Ten, and MSU was one of seven teams in the nation to accomplish that feat. They are coming off a year in which they did not make the NCAA tournament because, again, a lot of injuries, folks. They didn't make the NIT. They just rested. They just rested last year to heal up, and they certainly have some depth. So here's some coverage from the Breslin Center, and here's Susie Merchant first off paying homage to the great Jerry Kill, who is now the former football head coach at Minnesota, who had to take a leave due to health concerns. He actually gave Susie her very first start. Here's what she had to say to start that presser.
Before I do talk about our team and our program, I'd like to just sort of send my well wishes to Jerry Kill at Minnesota. I guess in many ways I wouldn't be here at this job and this position if it wasn't for him. He helped in the hiring process when I was at Saginaw Valley. I was 25 years old, and he gave me a shot. I look at my career and kind of where I've been, and you sort of appreciate those people that believed in you, maybe even before you believed in yourself in some ways. But that was a pretty heart-wrenching press conference to watch. So, Jerry, if you're out there, I just want to say I'm thinking about you and your family, and God bless, get well.
Not to harp on the injury bug, but how did last year, going through that situation, help grow this team? And is there anything different that you do in practice to make sure that those injuries don't occur during that time?
Well, I mean, you really can't. I mean, it's like, you know, you got to put the key in and drive your car, and you could get in a car accident. I mean, at the end of the day, you still got to get somewhere. So I look at it where, you know, I don't think we do anything different than anybody in the country. We had some very bizarre circumstances, obviously, when it came to that. What did it teach? I think it taught, in particular, I think it taught Tori and Ariel, you know, the kids that obviously were keyed on the most. It really challenged them to be good leaders. You know, I think that there were times when they certainly were frustrated, you know, when you get triangle and two at this level, or you're double teamed off every ball screen, or everybody's scheme is to beat the two of you kind of thing. I think that they had to learn to really communicate in such a way that it didn't tear the team apart, you know, in frustrating times. I think they did a great job of bringing kids together and bringing our team together, even though everything was sort of geared towards them. So I think I look forward to watching their leadership this year, because I think it really was accelerated last year in a way that most kids don't have that opportunity given our circumstances.
I think it helped a lot for the players that went through it. It's going to be a lot different this year. They're trying to fight for positions and fight for minutes, really, fight for playing time, and I think that's going to help us so much. And I mean, it already has with the freshmen, guard position, everybody's in the gym, working on their game, trying to get better just so they can play. And then for the people that went through that last year, I think it's going to be a little refreshing. We still have to keep getting better. We're trying to still be on the court every second we can. So, but it's definitely going to be a lot different being able to get that little break and go back in and give 110% again instead of being just exhausted.
It definitely helped us grow just because, you know, a lot of the freshmen, like when you come in, you know, you just kind of play a role. And I feel like our freshmen got a lot more experience than, you know, the typical freshmen. So I feel like that helped our team just gain more experience. And I think it'll really, you know, carry over to this year and help us out a lot.
I feel like we all know, you know, what role we play on the team. And usually I feel like it would be hard if we didn't know the role we play. And we all know it and we all accept it. So
I think it's going to grow this team, Aaron.
Huh?
How did going through that situation last year grow you guys?
Like he said, you know, the girls that are coming in now, they've obviously watched us play last year, and they know what we've gone through, so they probably know, you know, what they have to give to the team. And they know that we're not going to give up no matter what happens, and that's a big thing, not giving up on your sisters. So.
It was very unfortunate what happened with the players getting injured and them losing certain players, but it's been, like, You can watch that and, like, take from it, like, wow, they really, like, fought through and battled through that. And this is something you just take away and say, wow, that's what I need to bring plus more next year when I come. And so that just, it just taught us that lesson. And I think that everybody appreciates us having so many players now, because even when we're in the game now, we have 15 players. There's moments where you get tired and you can look over and somebody's willing to come in and sub and do great still. And then you go back in, and it's just a good feeling.
I think we're going to be great this year. We had a lot of players, a lot of new players, and a lot of veterans coming back, so we should be really good.
All right, yeah, looking forward to another year for the Spartan women's basketball team. They're healthy, folks. That's the main thing, right? All right, let's hit our second break. When we come back, we will put a bow on today's current sports and the current sports week by giving you a quick preview of Michigan and Minnesota. And also, we'll talk a little Halloween and bring you our favorite Halloween childhood memories. You don't want to miss that. You are listening to Current Sports. Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. And you know what? Gotta get this off my chest, and I have to admit this, because it won't be the last time, folks. Certainly not the first time that I have been dead wrong. Just completely wrong. Just, I couldn't have been wronger on this. To start the NFL year, I said that Tom Brady would not be at the top of the top when it comes to NFL quarterbacks,
because
you remember that, Isaac. I know that was coming. Because of the distraction of this whole Deflategate scandal that has taken place since last year. That's the statement I made. I thought that Tom Brady would be distracted. Tom Brady would not be focused. There was no way that Tom Brady could lock in and still be the NFL's best. Yeah, completely wrong. My gosh, has Tom Brady been good or what? Unbelievable. I sat there and watched Thursday Night Football. I turned it off after it got, you know, when it really started to get just utterly ridiculous. But Tom Brady was 26 of 38 last night for 356 yards. That's an average of 9 yards per pass. He threw 4 touchdowns, no interceptions, and his total QBR was just off the charts. 133.2. I don't know what to say. Tom Brady, unbelievable. Just unbelievable last night. He's been unbelievable all year. They're 7-0. They're 4-0 at home. The New England Patriots and Tom Brady are playing like they have a huge chip on their shoulder. I mean, I was wrong. I was wrong, Isaac. I was dead wrong. Completely wrong. Out in left field.
Hey, you know what? Good for you for bringing that up, though, because I wasn't going to. I remember now that you brought up that you were off on that pick.
Yeah, well, if I'm wrong, Isaac, I'm not afraid to come on and say I was dead wrong. I was completely wrong.
Well, that's the difference between you and me. I never concede defeat.
Oh, you got to. I mean, if you're wrong, this wrong, because I was, like, utterly wrong on this one. This is bad. I had to call myself out and just say, Al, what in the world were you thinking?
Well, how about this touchdown to interception ratio for Tom Brady this year?
Mm-hmm.
20 touchdowns, 1 interception.
And that was
one.
I remember that interception because it happened so rarely with Tom. That wasn't even his fault.
No,
that interception it got deflected into the defender's arms. So ideally, in my opinion, he has not thrown an interception all year.
He's been nearly perfect. And
I'm
like
telling
you said, the Patriots are impregnable. You know, they're absolutely unbeatable at the moment. They look favorites to win the championship again.
Right.
And it's all because of Tom Brady.
Yeah, they're unbelievable right now. All right, well, I told him I'd put him on the spot. We have our fantastic Current Sports production assistants behind the glass right now. We've got Ethan Merrill. We have Laurel Young. We have Shannon Thomas. And, of course, they are students here at Michigan State. They've been doing one outstanding job throughout the semester here on the show. And I'm pretty sure they're going to be indulging in the turnip that will be MSU Halloween. Going to be a fun time. I hope you guys stay safe. And I am so curious. I want to know what you guys are going to be for Halloween. Let's go from left to right. My left, not your left. Let's go, Ethan. What are you doing for Halloween, dude?
I don't know if you've ever seen the movie The Big Lebowski, but yes. I've got a couple buddies and I are going to theme that one out. He's going to be the dude, Jeff Daniels' character. I'm going to be Donnie, Steve Buscemi's character. And my roommate's going to be Walter, so that should be fun.
I've seen it. I can't remember it, though. So I'll Google it. I'm going to Google it after the show and check out what you mean.
It's kind of a cult classic, but it's a good one.
Nice. Good stuff. Have fun. Be safe, all right? What about you, Laura? What are you
going
to be?
Two of my friends and I are going as the three blind mice.
The three blind? How? So you guys have, like, big mice costumes?
Just wearing all black, and then we have the ears and sunglasses and canes.
I like that. I like that one a lot. All right, what about you, Shannon?
I'm going to be a ref, and I got a whistle and
a ref, Shannon.
And a flag, and I'm going to be throwing flags on everybody all night long.
That is so typical. Come on now, a ref? That's like, you know, there are some costumes that I think are a bit overdone. Like, you know, one I see every year, I always see girls dress up as, like, frat boys. That's one that's like a bit overdone. Is that right?
Wait, what? Yeah,
You haven't seen that? Every year at MSU, they dress up as frat boys. It's really simple. You just throw the backwards cap. I mean, you put on like some, I don't know, like some Sperry's, I guess. You know what I mean? With a button down shirt. It's a typical costume. I see that every single year. Or you're like, you know, like a witch. You see that all the time as well.
You know what it is?
I like that.
I probably just did not think those were costumes. I was just like, oh, I guess they decided not to costume.
Exactly. So I hope Shannon has a lot of flags because there's going to be some penalties going on this weekend.
There will be tons of penalties. I'll blow my whistle at them.
Okay. Shannon's going to keep everybody in check. That's going to be a fun time. And I hope, again, for anybody listening who's going out for Halloween, be safe. All right, to close out the show, what's your favorite Halloween memory, Isaac? You got one?
Actually, I was thinking about this before the show. It's hard for me to remember a distinct Halloween memory. Last year was fun when I went as Macklemore. That was a great time. Before that, I remember going trick-or-treating. I remember my kindergarten Halloween parade. Of course, Everything's a parade in New Orleans. So I actually had a homemade dinosaur costume. Is terrific. I guess that would be my number one. I don't remember the trick-or-treating part too well, but I remember the costume. It was so fun.
Nice. For me, I've got two. I was a big Power Rangers fan when I was little.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I dressed up as the Blue Power Ranger for 1 year, and I got a bunch of candy. That was great. I still remember that costume vividly. And also, on Halloween, when I started getting older, I felt like I'm too old to do the trick-or-treating thing anymore. So I stayed in. We had a movie night with my parents. And they fell asleep, and I stayed up while I was horrified watching, in my opinion, the scariest movie of all time, The Exorcist.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's actually a scary movie. I'll give you that.
That creeped me out, dude, when I was like 11 years old. I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I watching here, man? I will never forget that moment. So, yeah, good times.
All right. Yeah, my scariest movie I've ever seen, The Hills Have Eyes.
Crazy movie. I love that movie. Love that. It's one of my favorite ones. All right, real briefly here. Who do you got, Michigan or Minnesota? And give me a score, Isaac.
I'm taking Michigan. I think Minnesota will be all pumped up, doing it for Jerry Kill. But I think Michigan takes it closely, 27-24. You?
Michigan, 35-21. They're amped up. They're trying to rebound after that Michigan State loss. Thanks so much to all of you out there for tuning in to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Have a fantastic Halloween weekend. Take care and be easy, people.
They played the Mesh. They played the Mesh.